The authority of the Pope is shrouded in a multitude of stories, legends, and rumors, ranging from unfounded grievances to serious accusations of crimes. Interestingly, the principles of the Pope's divine authority are rooted in the semi-legendary accounts of the Apostle Peter. In 42 AD, after escaping from prison in Jerusalem, the Apostle Peter disappears from the pages of history. According to the most popular version, he went to Rome, where he led the local Christian community, but was executed during the persecution of Christians by Emperor Nero. It is from the Apostle Peter that the tradition of the Roman bishops began, who later gained absolute ecclesiastical power, their own state and wealth, and entered history under the title of Pope. Early Christians lived in scattered communities. Each community was led by a bishop. His title comes from the Greek word meaning overseer. In addition to religious activities, he was responsible for overseeing life within the community, resolving disputes, and representing the community to other Christians. He was assisted in this by presbyters and deacons. By the end of the 3rd century, 5 bishops emerged as the most authoritative: the bishops of Rome, Constantinople, Alexandria, Antioch, and Jerusalem. Due to the scattered nature of Christian communities across the empire, different regions interpreted the shared religion in various ways. The desire to establish one's own version of Christianity as the singular true interpretation led to numerous conflicts between communities, which began to label their opponents as heretics. The active centralization of Christianity took place during the reign of the Roman Emperor Constantine. According to legend, in 315, he contracted leprosy and sought treatment from Christians. They advised him to be baptized, and a miracle occurred. His leprosy was cured. The emperor then established a new capital, Constantinople, and in gratitude to the Pope, transferred the administration of the entire western half of the empire to him. Although the decree, known as the Donation of Constantine, turned out to be a forgery that was only uncovered in the 15th century, it did not prevent the Roman bishop from strengthening his power. All the same, this is merely a legend, and the Pope did not hold significant secular power or possess a state of his own until the end of the 8th century. The biggest problem for early Christianity was the heresy known as Arianism. The presbyter Arius of Alexandria was primarily concerned with the role of Jesus Christ. Though the movement quickly evolved into a political one, where, using Arius's works, lower clergy began to criticize the church leadership. In response, the church leadership criticized Arius and his followers for violating ecclesiastical norms. The church found itself on the brink of a schism. To resolve the issue, Emperor Constantine convened the First Ecumenical Council, also known as the First Council of Nicaea. Bishops from various corners of the empire condemned Arius and his followers, but they were unable to banish their teachings, as they were too popular and a significant portion of Christians already adhered to them. It took nearly a century for the Christian church to suppress Arianism. Even as it waned in the Roman Empire, Arian priests successfully preached among the Germanic tribes living on the borders. Still, this conflict contributed to the centralization of the church. Bishops gained more power. It was during this time that the 5 bishops leading the major cities were granted the title Pope, which means Father in Greek. At the end of the 4th century, Europe experienced the Great Migration of Nations. Dozens of Germanic tribes, many of which were Arians, migrated into the lands of the Roman Empire. There, they established their own states, known as the Barbarian Kingdoms. While secular authority displayed its ineptitude, the authority of the church began to rise. Church leaders skillfully manipulated political circumstances to their advantage. When Attila the Hun invaded Italy in 451, Pope Leo I the Great negotiated with him and secured an agreement for the Huns to withdraw. This was immediately proclaimed as a divine deliverance and an achievement of the Pope. When the Vandals sacked Rome 3 years later, it was depicted as a punishment for the sins of the Romans. Christians were then urged to heed the guidance of church leaders more attentively. When the Western Roman Empire fell in 476, the Ostrogoths did not harm the Pope. Soon after, the Roman bishops began to extend their influence beyond Italy. In 498, King Clovis of the Franks was baptized. Over the next century, the Burgundians, Alemanni, and Visigoths converted from Arianism to the Latin Rite. The Christianization of the Anglo-Saxons also began. Around the 7th century, papal envoys encountered the Celtic Church on the British Isles, which had developed among the Gaelic and Brittonic tribes. This church spread without the involvement of missionaries from Rome, and thus remained independent of the Pope. Conflicts were further fueled by certain semi-pagan traditions, norms, and calendar differences. Ultimately, in 664, at the Synod of Whitby, representatives from Rome triumphed, and the Latin Rite absorbed the Celtic Church. The Lombards remained Arians in Europe longer than any other group, having occupied Italy after the Ostrogoths. It was only towards the end of the 7th century that the Latin Rite of Christianity began to spread among them. Despite this, the Lombards continually clashed with the popes. The peak of the confrontation came in 753, when the Lombards captured Ravenna and began threatening Rome with their army. In response, Pope Stephen II traveled to the Franks and sought help from Pepin the Short. In return, he promised to recognize Pepin as the legitimate king. The Franks easily defeated the Lombards, and from the lands around Rome and Ravenna, they created a separate state and placed it under the authority of the Roman bishops. This event is known as the Donation of Pepin, and, unlike the falsified Donation of Constantine, it was this donation that granted the Pope real secular power. Over the next century, another significant process took place, the Carolingian Renaissance. Thanks to financial support from the Frankish emperors, European culture began to flourish. Even after the empire's fragmentation, the support from the Carolingians did not wane. It was during this period that the medieval church as we envision it today began to take shape. The Pope became not only the most influential bishop in Western Europe, but also the ruler of his own state. On one hand, this granted significant power, as landholdings were a primary indicator of status at the time. On the other hand, it created a problem. The position of the Pope was elective. With the establishment of his own state, not only clergy, but also secular authorities became interested in the papacy, attempting to advance their own candidates in the elections. The situation was further complicated by the fact that, at that time, the Pope was elected not by church representatives, but by the nobility and the common people of Rome. Pope Stephen V was a candidate of the Duke of Spoleto. In return for this support, he declared Guido of Spoleto as Emperor of the Romans and provided backing in all matters. Cardinal Formosus opposed this policy, attempting several times to become Pope, but he was excommunicated and expelled from Rome. Eventually, Formosus assumed the papal throne in 891, and rumors spread throughout Italy that he had poisoned his predecessor to achieve this. It is not surprising that Formosus soon found himself in conflict with Guido III. Lacking military forces of his own, the Pope sought an ally in Arnulf, king of the East Franks. Arnulf crossed the Alps in 893 and defeated Guido's army several times, forcing him to retreat to his ancestral castle. After 3 years of warfare, Formosus declared Arnulf the Emperor of the Romans. Yet, Arnulf faced setbacks. He fell ill and left Italy. His army was defeated by the Italians, and soon after, in 897, Pope Formosus died. Still, his story does not end there. The Cadaver Synod, as it was called by contemporaries, became one of the most horrific episodes in Rome's history. The new pope, Stephen VI, conducted a trial of the exhumed body of Formosus, interrogating it and accusing it of religious apostasy. The corpse endured numerous indignities and several attempts at burial, including being thrown into the Tiber River. 6 months later, a severe earthquake struck Rome. The Romans blamed Stephen VI for the calamity due to his desecration of the former pope's remains. This led to an anti-papal uprising in the city, during which Stephen VI was killed, sparking not only a struggle for papal power, but also for the Italian crown. Over the following decade, popes changed nearly every year. attempts by secular authorities to interfere in the church did not cease. During this period, the family of Counts of Tusculum emerged on the political scene. In 904, Count Theophylact of Tusculum, with the help of the Duke of Spoleto's troops, seized Rome, killed the locally unrecognized Pope Christopher, and placed his cousin, Sergius III, on the papal throne. Sergius III was a long-time political adversary of Formosus, and therefore conducted another cadaver synod against the former pope. Sergius III also repaid his patron, Theophylact. He made Theophylact the consul of Rome, granting him full control over the city, and the church treasury became the personal account of Theophylact's clan. After the death of Sergius III, Anastasius III became pope. Rumors suggested that he was an illegitimate son of Theophylact's daughter, Marozia, and the former pope, Sergius III. These rumors were not unfounded, as for the next 50 years, real power in Rome belonged to the Tusculum family, particularly Marozia, who even became Queen of Italy. She installed two of her lovers, Leo VI and Stephen VII, as popes, and also her own illegitimate son, John XI, who was reputedly fathered by Sergius III. Marozia served as the prototype for the black legend of Papes Jaune. Initially, the legend claimed that in the 10th century, Rome was so chaotic that a woman, through intrigue, became pope. Over time, the legend accumulated details about her scandalous reign, including tales that Papes Jaune gave birth during a church procession. While such events never occurred, these legends reflect the attitudes of the time towards the authority of the pope. A notorious representative of the Tusculum family was Marozia's grandson, Octavian of Spoleto, who became Pope John XII in 955 at the age of just 18. He was involved in everything except ecclesiastical matters. In 963, he was condemned at a synod for selling bishoprics, losing church funds in gambling, praying to ancient Roman gods, turning the Lateran Basilica into a brothel, and committing many other crimes, including the rape of nuns. Pope John XII was absent from the synod. Shortly before, he had become involved in the war between King Berengar II of Italy and King Otto I of Germany. Initially, the pope was an ally of Otto, and even crowned him emperor. But he soon fell out with him, lost a battle to him at the walls of Rome, and fled the city. A year later, John regained control of Rome, and even carried out reprisals against his judges. Nonetheless, Pope John XII soon died. He was killed by the husband of his mistress when the man caught them together in his bed. The period of the pornocracy in Rome ended with Pope John XII. Even so, the papacy did not regain its authority. Popes became dependent on the rulers of the Holy Roman Empire, who now had the right to approve their elections. While Rome struggled with its own issues, the church's authority also began to decline beyond the Alps. There, the church was granted landholdings managed by local bishops and abbeys. Simony, the practice of purchasing ecclesiastical positions, gained popularity during this time. Feudal lords often appointed their younger sons, who could not inherit land, to ecclesiastical positions. Since clerics were not forbidden from marrying at that time, entire episcopal dynasties emerged in Europe. These families, with their wealth and power, could rival lords and counts. During this period, clergy often did not even pretend to focus on religious duties, but behaved like ordinary feudal knights, building castles and waging wars for land. Everyone in Europe understood that ecclesiastical positions had ceased to be purely spiritual roles. They had become sources of power and wealth that attracted various feudal lords, and especially kings. From the 11th century onwards, the practice of investiture gained popularity in Europe, where kings began to appoint bishops and abbots in their kingdoms without the permission of the pope or his cardinals. The Western Church was in crisis. It was during this period that the reform movement began, led by the Cluniac Abbey. The Abbey was known for its adherence to strict rules and for its abbot's avoidance of political involvement, unlike most other church representatives. The authority of the Abbey grew significantly, and throughout the 10th century, other monasteries began inviting Cluniac abbots to manage them in an effort to restore order. Over time, an unofficial order emerged, the Congregation of Cluny, which became, by the year 1000, the most authoritative ecclesiastical structure in feudal Europe. On the other hand, the Cluniac monks were unable to reform the entire church, only individual monasteries. In Rome, the struggle for the papal throne continued unabated, culminating in 1014 when the German emperor gave the papal seat to the Tusculan counts, who had initiated the period of the pornocracy in the past. The Tusculan clan remained true to its traditions. For example, Pope John XIX, in an effort to keep the papal seat within his family, bribed the Roman nobility before his death to ensure that his 20-year-old nephew, Benedict IX, would be elected as the new pope. Benedict IX surpassed even his grandfather, John XII, in notoriety. He was accused of bribery, plundering monasteries, homosexuality, and even murder. The Romans expelled this pope from the city twice, but he returned each time with the emperor's troops and mercenaries, carrying out massacres in the city and maintaining his power through terror. In 1045, Benedict IX realized that he could not remain pope for long and decided to extract as much benefit as possible from his position. He sold the papal office to his godfather, Pope Gregory VI, and moved to his family's estates. Within a year, he squandered all his money, and, seeking to regain the papal power, began a struggle against his godfather. Additionally, the Bishop of Sabina declared himself pope. Italy was on the brink of civil war. The German Emperor Henry III could not tolerate such chaos, so he crossed the Alps with his army and convened a synod. At this synod, all three claimants to the papacy were deposed. The new pope was the German Bishop Clement II. Despite his brief reign, Clement II, a supporter of the Cluniac reform movement, managed to initiate important Cluniac reforms that transformed the entire Western Church. In the winter of 1049, a procession of pilgrims arrived in Rome. Among them was Bruno, the Bishop of Toul, accompanied by monks Humbert and Hildebrand. Bruno, who was the uncle of Emperor Henry III, was elected Pope Leo IX. He appointed his companions to high ecclesiastical positions and began actively advocating for reforms. Pope Leo IX was the first to attempt to outlaw simony and to limit the influence of secular authorities in church affairs. Due to Leo IX's reforms, a conflict arose with Byzantium. The Byzantines were accustomed to having Roman popes with limited power and authority. The reforms and strengthening of papal authority were met with hostility in Constantinople. Political disputes were once again masked as theological issues. Cardinal Humbert traveled to Constantinople to reconcile the two sides, but ended up clashing with the local clergy and declaring their excommunication. In response, Constantinople declared the Pope excommunicated as well. This confrontation led to the schism of the Christian Church into the Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox branches. Pope Leo IX, though, did not witness the schism himself. He died shortly before it, having been captured by the Normans in southern Italy. Ironically, one of his successors, Pope Nicholas II, hired the Normans to seize Rome so that he could claim the papal throne. Pope Nicholas II enacted a significant reform in 1059. He established the Conclave, a special council composed exclusively of cardinals, tasked with electing a new pope. This reform made the election of the pope an internal church matter, effectively excluding secular nobility and monarchs from the process. Subsequent reforms included the prohibition of marriages for priests, the banning of the sale of ecclesiastical positions, and the limitation of secular feudal interference in the appointment of clergy. The most renowned papal reformer was Hildebrand, known as Pope Gregory VII. He definitively prohibited simony and introduced penalties not only for priests who married, but also for those who facilitated such marriages or appointed already married individuals to ecclesiastical positions. Gregory VII also fought against the practice of investiture, where monarchs appointed bishops. All the same, no monarch was willing to relinquish the power to appoint bishops. Emperor Henry IV reacted most sharply to this. For several years, the Pope and the Emperor exchanged heated letters. But in 1075, a dispute arose between them over the appointment of the Bishop of Milan. The following year, Henry IV convened a synod of clergy in Germany, which declared Gregory VII deposed from the papal throne. Henry IV began gathering troops for a campaign into Italy, but in response, Gregory VII excommunicated the emperor. This action caused Henry IV to lose his army, allies, and support, as excommunication undermined the legitimacy of his rule. Consequently, instead of leading a military campaign, Henry IV traveled to Italy as a penitent, barefoot and dressed in rags. He sought forgiveness from the Pope, who was staying at the castle of Canossa, leading to the event known as the Walk to Canossa. The emperor had to wait outside the castle for 3 days before Gregory VII agreed to meet him and granted him absolution. Certainly, Emperor Henry IV could not forgive such an affront. For the first 3 years after the excommunication, he had to suppress uprisings among the German nobles, who no longer considered him their ruler. By 1080, Henry began preparing for war against the Pope once again. Gregory VII excommunicated the emperor a second time, but this had little effect. Henry had defeated all his enemies in Germany and had too strong a position. Within a year, the Pope was forced to flee Rome from Henry IV's soldiers, who installed their puppet pope in his place. Despite Gregory VII's downfall, his reforms were not to be undone. By the end of the 11th century, the Catholic Church had significantly elevated its authority. Pope Urban II, building upon the reforms of his predecessors, emerged as a prominent political figure. In 1095, he convened the crucial Council of Clermont, where he not only excommunicated the French king for remarrying, but also issued a call for Christians to liberate the Holy Land and the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem from Muslim rule. By this time, the Pope's authority was so substantial that he was able to mobilize all of Europe for a religious campaign, marking the beginning of the Crusades and a new chapter in Christian history.